C2PR. Number 18A.
We have taken this morning those first four subtones of principle, the principle of honesty, and I've seen that she develops that subject through the subtones, always by bringing out another aspect of principled honesty. In the first subtone of mind, she showed that honesty is the conformity of words and desire, that those are conform, that what we desire we say, and what we say we really inwardly desire. That's mind. In spirit, she was presenting that honesty is a conformity between the inward attitude and the outward expression. Then in soul, she showed that honesty is that conformity where we see that we are really that which we think we are, that there is a conformity between what we believe we are and what we make up what we are, and that which really is our identity. So that there must be that identity of our own identity. So that we don't think we are something else which we actually are not. So it's a great sense of self-examination is there necessary in order to know who we actually are. And then in the subtone of principle, she has shown that honesty is that conformity where our desires are in conformity, or our theory is in conformity with what we prove. That theory and proof are in conformity. And now we come to life, and the last sentence has already given a clue what will come in life, namely that she said that this conformity of theory and proof can only really be proved through our lives, by taking up the cross, and before we can really enjoy the fruition of our faith, before it can come to the point of truth, where we really can demonstrate the true form of honesty. So we go to that tone of principle as life, and it is a very long passage. We never had such a long one, a whole page, but you will see that it is always turning around the same point. We will not find many different things in here, but the same thing said over and over and over, so to say. And we can ask ourselves, why is it that she put so much strength on this tone of principle as life? Well, what is principle as life? It's actually that very important point where we have to prove through our lives what we believe in. So it's there where we say, yes, there is a theory, but now are we going to live it, to prove it in practical life? That is always a main question among students of any religion or metaphysical school, that we say, well, there must be principle and practice. So life is always the practice of that principle. So we read together this passage, and we'll encounter very wonderful indications of what the true prayer must be. She goes right out from that statement in the Bible, "Dost thou love the Lord thy God?" At that very moment when we hear, "Dost thou love the Lord thy God?" we know that it is the point of life. Love, that fifth term in the third degree, you know, is love with a small L. And John Dolly always has explained that love with the simple rendering of laying down the mortal concept. Not of laying down the mortal, It's laying down the mortal concept, but sometimes we abbreviate it, just say laying down the mortal. But it's actually the mortal concept. That's very important, because so often a student goes right into the extreme and says, well, if everything is spiritual, then why should I live any longer here on the material plane and in the body? The ultimate is anyway that I'm spiritual, so why not get away from this earth? And in the Bible it says, well, lay down the mortal. So why not finish my life so that I make a rapid transit? That's a nice way of saying it. Yes. So, dost thou love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind? There are three terms here, and you can see the Bible here indicates those three prayers. Namely, it is with your mind that you pray. Prayers are mental. It is spirit, namely with thy heart, heartfelt gratitude, or the spiritual qualities, and with all thy soul, with all the sinlessness of soul. So that rendering from the Bible says us right away that true prayer must build on mind, spirit, and soul. Do you agree, huh? Did you see that? There are not just three nice terms that came into Jesus' mind or in Mrs. Eddy's mind, but they are really bringing out the foundation of a principle of the Lord. So she says, this command includes much. You see, this is the command of Jesus. To love the Lord thy God with all thy mind. We had in spirit as principle, we had that sense that we should keep Jesus' commands. And we said, what are Jesus' commands? And in this chapter on prayer, Jesus' command is, you see, to love God. Not to love people, that's another aspect, but to love God, to love the allness of being, the divine being must be reflected. It was in that prayer, and therefore keep the commandment, namely keep that commandment that you are obedient to the Lord God. So this command includes much. See, the command is principle. What does it include? It includes life. Now you get the tone of life again. First the love of God, which is life. Now the other side of the coin is, this command includes much, even the surrender of all material, of all merely material sensation, affection, and worship. This is really laying down the mortal concept. It's to surrender all merely material sensation, affection, and worship. This, she says, is the El Dorado of Christianity. She speaks again about the El Dorado in the textbook, and that is in the last chapter. So here we have within the textbook a great two great pillars that introduce prayer and say, well, prayer is really what she said for the Christianization and health of mankind. Again here she says, this attitude of prayer is the El Dorado of Christianity. And finally she ends it then up the textbook with bringing us into the El Dorado. But it's interesting to see how she describes now that El Dorado. Namely, she says, it involves the science of life. See, it's principle as life. We are in the tone of principle as life, a science principle of life. So that Eldorado here is a science of life and recognizes, what is that Eldorado? For a true recognition, mind, it recognizes only the divine control of spirit, in which soul is our master. Again, you have a sense of mind, spirit, soul, of the recognition of mind, then the control of spirit, and soul being the master. And material sense and human will have no place. They are laid down. That's the signs of life, that we lay down the material sense and human will. Now, can you see again, she has a triad of mind, spirit, soul. But this triad does not really fit with those three first prayers. Though they indicate mind, spirit, soul, they do not represent those three first prayers, because those three first prayers are not showing the recognition of the control of spirit. We didn't have in spirit the control of spirit, nor did we have in soul that soul is our master. And yet, she summarizes it this way. And you can see this very clearly, what she means. See, she begins now, little by little, to lift prayer up into science. The three prayers of mind, spirit, soul, which consists of really the true desire to know God, then in spirit, the I repeat that now for the 100th time, the second prayer, where we put everything of spiritual qualities into that desire, and then in soul, we are not letting ourselves be influenced, sidetracked by any other suggestion, so that we go away sinless, that those qualities will finally be overformed in the science of Christianity. And in the science of Christianity, there you will have the capitalized terms. There you will have spirit no more as, that atmosphere, loving atmosphere of affection and heartfelt gratitude. But there it is, spirit controlling a situation. There will be soul being the master of the situation. So, little by little, she uses the prayer to bring out Christianity, the Christianization of mankind, but she also has in the long view that she will show us the science of Christianity. And actually that she will show in the later chapters, and not in the chapter on prayer. This brings me to another little side mark for interpretation, which also shows the following. We have seen that interpretation should bring out the meaning of the text, but we also have seen that the meaning is relational, that the meaning is defined through the context, the relation. Now that relation can have many frame of references, or I would say so, that it can have many bigness or largeness, or what you say, a frame of references. Usually what we have been doing up to now, we consider these statements within the frame of reference just of the text, say within a subject, within a subject of prayer of mind or of spirit or soul. But the chapter on prayer does not stand alone. It's only, again, a part of the whole textbook. Therefore, if we enlarge the frame of reference and from time to time ask ourselves, now, what function has the chapter on prayer within the whole textbook? So that we see, that we must see that here and there, actually Mrs. Eddy will relate prayer to the rest of the textbook, which is the science of Christian Science. And in doing that, in order to not leave prayer as one in sich geschlossenes subject that is self-consistent in itself. Huh? In a closed circuit, or what did you say? Self-contained. Yes, thank you. You see that it is not just self-contained, as if nothing else would exist anymore in the whole textbook. So sometimes she must also show the place value of prayer within the whole chapter, within the whole textbook. And here, I think, is one of those very first indications that she says, but you know, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind, with all thy soul, is a Christianization of mankind, but that is not yet the science of Christianity, the El Dorado of Christianity. And so little by little she indicates that these qualities will be overformed as we go on. They will be overformed out of the qualities into ideas. She will bring in later ideas and will be overformed finally to synonymous terms. So that finally we are no more so much praying as the chapter prayer will tell us. Oh, huh? Now I said something. See? We may be led to overform the attitudes, the good human attitudes towards the divine, more to that plane of the science of Christianity, to the plane even of divine science, where everything within us prays not with these qualities which are depicted in the chapter on prayer, but where everything within us prays in terms of capitalized terms. And that is what I tried to bring out with that little booklet, A Spiritual Principle of Prayer. See, that booklet has nothing in common with the chapter on prayer. It was, I tried there, and I think I can honestly say I tried it. I don't know how it will stand the test finally, but I tried there to lift the chapter on prayer out of the framework of Christian Science into the framework of divine science. See? Because when you read that little booklet, you will see that all these qualities which we are discussing all week long will not be there. Will not be there. And since I did that, was a talk I gave in 1966, oh, it's nearly 20 years ago already, I introduced that because I felt once the levels of science have shown us that there is another level than just Christian Science and absolute Christian Science, which is really the backbone, the let's say the skeleton, so to say, of the textbook, and that there is afterwards a higher range, namely divine science. And we have no textbook on divine science, so I don't know what the textbook on divine science would be. I don't know it. But I felt that at least I could try to see what prayer is from the level of divine science. Therefore, all those points in it, which are laid out in a matrix for 4x4, because on divine science you get for the first time when you come down from science a fourfold operation. And so I present that really the attitude of prayer from the level of divine science through that 4x4 attitude, always going out, each of the 16 going out from the synonymous terms and staying within the synonymous terms. So I don't think that we will be able to touch on that further this week. It may be too much, but I think in the letter that I wrote for the invitation for the seminar, I said, well, also study perhaps that little pamphlet, The Spiritual Principle of Prayer, and see what it is, because I felt that at least we should see the difference between the chapter on prayer and that Spiritual Principle of Prayer, that pamphlet is not an explanation of the chapter on prayer, not at all. It has a completely different symphony in it. There's a completely different level in it. Yes. We got off to this point because I said already here we can see that also Mrs. Eddy must sometimes relate the chapter on prayer to later chapters where she goes out from the synonymous terms and the reason in the synonymous terms where she gives the science of life. Starting out really the science of life perhaps with the 9th chapter, 10th chapter, and so on. But she goes right away again back to her own subject in the next paragraph and says, are you willing to leave all for Christ? See, it's again an appeal to the good human qualities in men. Are you willing to leave all for Christ? Everyone will be faced humanly with that situation, where humanly he has to make up his mind, which is first in my affection, is my home, my family, my business, my fortune, my job, my this, my that, the first issue of greater importance than what the idea dictates itself on me. So everyone always, we can think on the highest level, wherever we like to think. That doesn't matter. The life always comes right down to earth and say, now, here you are, make your decision. You have to make your decision. You have to work out your decision. Are you willing to leave all for Christ, for truth, and so be counted among sinners? Nobody can get around that. Jesus couldn't get around that. Mrs. Eddy could get around that. Nobody among us can get around that. If we don't want to be counted among sinners, we jolly well better leave Christian Science alone. With Christian Science and being in earnest, you get into trouble. You really get into trouble. And the more you go on, the more you get into trouble. So funny enough, she answers for us. But she doesn't say yes, she says no. She knew us. She really knew us. She said no. Do you really desire to attain this point? No. No, nothing doing. Then why make long prayers about it and ask to be Christians since you do not care to tread in the footsteps of our dear Master? Can you see the tone of life? To tread in the footsteps of our Master, to tread in the way of life, to follow Christ. That's always the tone here. If unwilling to follow his example, gain life. Why pray with the lips that you may be partakers of his nature? Consistent prayer is the desire to do right. Now here you get again the tone of principle. We are still in principle as life. So a principle, a consistent prayer is actually the desire to do right, and not only desire that I might do right, or that, or just say I want to do right and not do it. So again, principle shows you the consistency here of what? Of life. Am I going the way of life, or I'm not going the way of life? Am I willing to lay down the mortal, or is that too much? Is that price too high? The way of a scientist is always the question of, are we willing to pay the price? You know, very often you think, well, that what really constitutes a scientist and a progressive scientist and a scientist that can go on and further is how much he understands about the subject. And actually, it's not quite that way. That's perhaps a prerequisite, but the test is always if he is willing to pay the price for it. Because every step, every new step has its price. And it's usually there where we hold and stall. Say, no, that price is too high. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I take something cheaper. And so we stall. Prayer means, she says, that we desire to walk. See again, walk, the way of life. And will walk in the light as far as we receive it. Can you see the consistency again, the conformity between desiring to walk in it and actually walking in it? It's always the same thing. Over and over she takes various examples, bringing out always the same thing. Are you willing really to do what you desire, even if it costs a lot? But it's also nice to see that she just doesn't say prayer means that we desire to walk and then will walk in the light. She says also, far as we receive it.